On item number seven, which is a briefing on the marketing plan. So, Peter, back to you.
Good afternoon, Commission Chair Smith, Commissioners, and Director Unsworth. We're here today to give you a look at the marketing plan that we have been working on with our Marketing Steering Committee within the agency. I'm going to turn it over to Greg Salas, who's the Sales and Marketing Manager, to explain how we developed this plan.
Good afternoon. So before I get started, I just want to give you kind of a background of my team. So we've been here in the agency for about 3 years. And we first got here, we were really focused on our loyal customers. We looked at these loyal customers, they buy from us every year. Is there other items they could buy? So we looked at the two-pole endorsement, promoted that. We looked at hunters and informed them about the multi-season permit and let them know that there's other opportunities out there for them. So we really wanted to focus on loyal customers. And then the following year, we looked at recruiting new customers. So we looked at how to bring those new customers in, and we started with a fishing derby, and a statewide derby, and it was very effective. We promoted it, got the word out there, generated a lot of excitement. We saw a lot of good feedback from our customers. We saw new customers coming in because of the derby. We did a survey after the derby. We saw that I think half of our customers are aware of this derby. A percentage of them actually bought a license to participate in the derby. So that was really cool to see. And then from there, we're really looking at, in the upcoming year, it's not in this draft of the marketing plan, but we are looking at the non-consumptive, those outdoor enthusiasts. It's the next step in our progression, basically. So we started off with the loyal customers, and we looked at retaining and recruiting customers, and now we're looking at these non-consumptive customers. So we are aware of that. We are looking into how to best do that. Also, I just want to kind of talk a little bit about marketing and public affairs. There is overlap there, but there are some differences too. For the marketing team, we really look at the customer experience, bringing in new customers to the agency, and having this great customer experience from the whole customer journey. So when they, doing the research of doing an activity through the purchase process, through actually doing the activity, we want that really great customer experience. And then public affairs, they use a lot of marketing tools, so there is these similarities and crossover, but they're more about the communication to our customers, to our constituents. So they're out there doing the communication part, but our role is more of the revenue side, and so there is these differences between the two groups. So I go to slide two. So the goal in the marketing plan is, the first main goal is R3, recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters and anglers. And then we also talk about improving the customer experience a lot in the plan through that whole customer journey. And also improve public and customer support. And we really saw that in some of our activities we did. Again, the derby was a great example of that, just seeing the positive feedback. And the social media, when we posted about the derby, majority of the comments were really positive. We saw people talk about bringing people, their friends and family with them to participate in that derby. So it was really neat to see. Okay. So one thing we really focus on in the marketing plan really is built around R3. And R3 is that recruit, retain, reactivate. And so when we look at recruiting new customers, we look at the opportunities out there, the activities. So one thing we've looked at is, okay, clamming is an easy entry point. If you've never hunted or fished in your life, what can we tell customers out there who've never done those activities and don't have friends that do those activities? So we really looked at clamming as one example. So steamer clams, all you need is a bucket and a rake to get started. And so that was something we heavily promoted to recruit new customers. Now, when we look at these new customers, we always think of, when we recruit them, who should we recruit? Do we want to recruit people in urban areas, geographic areas? Do we want to look at different demographics, youth, women? And also lifestyle, like locavores is very popular right now, eating locally. So there's things we can take these activities and tailor it to those different groups is something we do. And then to reach those groups, we've used different communication tools. One thing we've been doing this year a lot is outreach. We've actually built a relationship with JBLM's marketing team, and we've done some events with them. One was around steamer clams. And what we saw, we surveyed the people who participated, and it was 30 people came out to participate. 26 never bought a license in our state before. And of those, and of all 30, all of them said they'd bring somebody with them next time they went clamming. So it was very successful. And it's teaching these people how to do these activities, and so then they can go out and teach other people to do those activities. We've also worked partnering with Hunter Ed for Pheasants in Pheasants Forever. We're going to do an event next week, and Pheasants Forever is donating $500 to help buy youth licenses for this event. And we just sent an email for it. We have almost, it's full, 15 participants of youth hunters who just finished Hunter Ed are coming out to do this event. And we also have partnered with PSA. We did a squid clinic. So we are doing these outreach tools to reach customers, but also use other communication tools. And that's, we work with other agencies. We've partnered with state parks. They have a lot of beaches where you can go clamming at. So we thought that's, why don't you let your customers know? They have a different type of customer than we do. So we think that's a good way to reach those customers and bring them out. We also communicate through our advertising efforts. We use Pandora pretty successfully for the first time this year. It's very targeted. We can target by county or by age. So we have a lot. We were able to choose certain areas we thought, you know, we could improve sales at. We've partnered with magazines. We've done advertising in magazines, Parent Map, which targets parents, obviously. We've done that. And we also worked with school districts, and they have email distribution systems. And so these emails go out to all the parents, and so we partner with some school districts within Thurston County to see how effective they were, and we can measure that, too, and see how many people came through. We also worked with DOT for advertising efforts. So DOT has the rest stops, so we put some signs, information about activities available. One thing also that's very important for us is we have a million customers, and so we want those customers to do outreach for us. You know, if just a small percentage would bring somebody new in for the agency, that those are new customers for us. So we've done a lot of campaigns around that. We've worked with Hunter had to develop a campaign around Hunter deferral. We found just through surveys, informal surveys, that most of our customers did not know that was available to be able to bring somebody for the first time through Hunter deferral to go hunting. So we wanted to let our customers know about that. And so also it's very important for us to retain the customers we have, because if we're bringing new customers, and we don't want to lose the other customers we have. So we've definitely keep informing them of different opportunities we have available to them. We also want to look at, too, when we, you know, when we look at these customers, we want to make sure, you know, that the things we're promoting is a good fit for them. So we'll look at, you know, anglers and let them know, again, about the different endorsements that apply to them. So we've always been promoting that. We also, too, when we communicate out, we also like to look at, make sure that's relevant to the customer. So that messaging, you know, when we target that urban customer, we want to make sure that messaging makes sense for that customer. That's important to us. And then here's some of the kind of a little chart showing the audience's opportunities. We want to make sure that our different audiences are aware of all the opportunities available to them that we can offer. And we also did a SWOT analysis. So that's strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And so the way you look at it, strengths and weaknesses are internal, opportunities and threats are external. And so a lot of what we do is identify threats and weaknesses and try to develop solutions. For example, a species of fish that maybe is affected by environmental factors, we can direct customers to other species so that maybe they're not familiar with, but give them information how to do that. Let's see. So one thing we also did in the marketing plan is really talk about ideas and how and how we evaluate those. Because as a marketing group, we do get a lot of ideas. And one thing I learned early on in my career is ideas is 1% of marketing. The 99% is the execution of those ideas. So we kind of built this into the plan of what does that look like internally and externally when we get these ideas? How do we vet those ideas? And so basically what we do, the way we kind of framed it in the plan is we have this assessment phase. We have the idea generator kind of look at those ideas, see if they make sense to them, and you give us some information like what audiences are you thinking about, what kind of revenue can it generate. And then from there we review it, and if it looks like it makes sense, then we move on and make a marketing plan around that, a tactical marketing plan. And then what we want to also do is test. We try to test a lot of this different campaign. Before we launch a campaign, we try to test it and see if it's going to work. It's not always possible, but usually through customer surveys or focus groups, we can test those kind of things. And then once we implement it, we want to make sure that, you know, it's effective. So we want to keep measuring it and watching, you know, if it's doing what we think it's going to do. So that's important to know. And if it's not, what can we do to change it to make it work better? And then at the end of the marketing plan, here's a list of some of the major campaigns we're looking at. We have more than this, but these are our key ones. And we really wanted to frame it around R3 and kind of on this chart and showing which types of customers are targeting and then what kind of audience we're looking at. And that is that's the end. Any questions?
No questions. Yes.
Might have more comments than questions. I have to agree with some testimony from this morning by Sean. This is not a WDFW marketing plan. It is a WDFW hunting and fishing marketing plan. And I wish that's what it would be titled. You note, okay, this is for this biennium. For this biennium, we're focusing on our traditional constituents, the minority of Washingtonians who have a connection to fish and wildlife. That's two more years that we are wasting not trying to figure out how to tap into the largest segment of our population. I disagree with your definition of the non-traditional segment as a potential customer of this. I mean, yeah, you're going to convert a few people into fishers and hunters, but that is not the trend that is going on throughout the country. And we may be able to buck the trend. I mean, you've got great ideas. We may be able to buck the trend, but it's not going to make up the deficit. It is really time to start coming up with ideas for revenue generation and putting them into our plans for this largest segment of lovers of fish and wildlife. So either we title it the WDFW Fishing and Hunting Market Plan for this biennium and say we're going to waste another 2 years not trying to figure out how to tap into this market other than special license plates, or we go back to the drawing board and acknowledge that this is a target audience. This is the most important target audience if we're going to be financially healthy into the future.
Thank you, Commissioner Kronberg. I'm in full agreement. We have been working, Greg and his team have been working at About 2 years ago, we used to have a watchable wildlife decal out there. It really didn't provide a lot of value to our customer. It was priced right along the Discover Pass, and it got pretty confusing. But I think we have a real opportunity to look at these folks that enjoy outdoor recreation and tie our vehicle access pass, which a hunter or fisherman gets for free in their license, because we can tie that vehicle access pass to a point for somebody who doesn't buy a license but still wants to recreate on our million acres across the state, wants to go to one of our 33 wildlife areas, and may want to use one of our over 600 access sites to get on a lake. Greg and his team have done some really good work at the Seattle Boat Show with trying to engage customers, doing a survey there a couple years, last year, I believe. And so love to be able to figure out that one and know that a large share of the folks that are moving to Washington to work for a lot of these tech companies are want to enjoy the outdoors, but they exercise. They recreate in a much non-traditional way than a lot of folks do now. So how to connect with them has to be a focus for this agency, and it has to be a focus sooner than later.
Yeah, last year I went to the WAFWA meeting, and there was a presentation that was AFWA, but it was done at WAFWA. It's always the more I say that, the stranger it gets. Okay. And it showed participation in traditional hunting and fishing.
Leveling off.
Yeah, but it's holding a little bit, but at age 70, it drops off a cliff.
Yep.
And the reason it's holding steady a little bit is because of people like moi.
Yeah.
You know, but in a short period of time, that wall, it's going to go boom, like that. And it was very dramatic, that presentation.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman Smith. One of the things that we know, in 2007, the average age of our licensed buyers was 46 years of age. Yeah. Now, in 2015, it's up to 57 already.
Yeah.
And we are headed to the cliff much quicker than we realize, and it is our largest section of population.
Yeah.
How do we engage? Where do we focus our attention? We have really good youth participation. We see a large drop-off when they become 15, and we don't see it kind of peak back up. And I, when I say peak, I mean incrementally small peak back up till after they're 25 or 26. So do we concentrate on the youth? And I think we've done that in some of the legislation we're going to put forward to expand our youth age. But we also need to re-engage that person at 26 and 27 who was hunting and fishing when they're 14 and 15. And we've got work there. It's a really big haul. I know my son is 26, 27, and I had an opportunity to go fishing with him a couple weeks ago, and it was a great time. I think we need to loop this around the experience that folks can have with family and friends in the outdoors.
I think what you're doing is some of the most critical things that the department can do, both for the, and again, not you liking the phrase, but the only one, the consumptive and non-consumptive, because it's the tent's got to be big to do that. And and so, okay, Don.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just wanted to agree in spirit with most everything that my colleague commissioner here has said, but maybe disagree on the part about retitling it. I had the opportunity to go out for a walk with my favorite 8-year-old granddaughter, of which I have one 8-year-old granddaughter. And we could have gone crabbing for the day, and she said, no, let's just go for a walk like we have done in the past, and we'll go out and we'll make a species list, and maybe we can get 5 different species, and maybe we can get 10. And there's a lot of people who do just like to do that. I've got a friend who has a whale-watching business in California, and you can take boats out to just go bird watching on the ocean. And we just heard a presentation on lands where maybe it might be good for people to go take a walk on those lands and see what kind of a species list they could get. So when you go somewhere abroad, you look at eco tours that don't necessarily involve hunting and fishing. In fact, we heard a briefing of one in South Africa earlier today on that. So I think it's a big part of our marketing plan. The more people that are interested in fish and wildlife, the better the fish and wildlife are going to be. And So, you know, for example, on page 3 of your document, the goals does not mention the groups that aren't hunting and fishing. Recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters and anglers. Improve customer experience. What customers? Those customers. Improve public and customer support. Now, that gets a little close to it, but I think the document shouldn't be retitled, but it should be subject to a lot of new additions that get into anything that can be done by the department to make those folks that are already out there doing what I described feel like the Department of Fish and Wildlife is there to make that better. Or, if they don't do it, to let them know that once they get a job with Amazon and move to Seattle, they could go on a drift boat down through the Olympic Peninsula and just watch eagles, for example. So, or dippers, if we got the gentleman out in the audience. So I'm suggesting that you go through the document and find spots where you can make those folks comfortable and enthusiastic. If this is mostly about generating revenue, I'm not necessarily in favor of starting to charge people for things that are free now. But I did see one thing in here about license plates. And even on that that graphic, there is no description of, you know, bird watchers or hikers or, you know, last meeting we were up in Port Angeles and people go up on Hurricane Ridge and they're not going up there to hunt and fish. So, you know, activities, clamming, trout derby, fish, looking at the website. I mean, I don't think you should take any of those consumptive type uses off. I think the example of the clam diggers getting enthusiastic is a very good one. That's very positive, and that builds. But to add anywhere you can in the marketing plan something that will acknowledge this other large element of our society that enjoys fish and wildlife, and ultimately we will help us out of what I'm sure you're trying to do anyway.
You guys going to fight it out? Or? Okay.
Looking through this, and I have to agree with the other commissioners in terms of expanding the language in this to include this. We're wrestling with that term non-consumptive, but I think everybody understands what we're talking about, who we're trying to address. And I'm curious to know, when was the last time we did any kind of survey to these categories, hunters, fishers, non-consumptive users, where we can access them through the department, and ask them what did they want? You know, what do they like about what's available, what they don't like? Do fishermen want more fish or do they want bigger fish? You know, that helps us give us direction when we how we manage to make it more appealing to our customer base. Hunters always want more public access, you know, and we, once again today, we saw the acquisition of more public lands, and we're doing that, and I don't know what kind of awareness there is out there. I kind of disagree with Commissioner McIsaac that we have a lot of people that are using the lands that our license holders are paying for access. And I think it's only fair that they share the costs so that we can maintain those and, in fact, expand them. So I just wonder how many times we've actually asked our current customer base what they like, what they don't like, what they'd like to see, what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong. And I don't know when the last time we've done that. You know, when we come up with ideas, where are they coming from? How do we, on what basis do we move forward with a marketing plan when we haven't asked our customers what they want? Understand what I'm saying? And we've made dramatic changes in the past based on the public's opinion. 2008, we asked the people that fish for trout what they wanted, and we changed how we plan our lakes. You know, we don't. Anyway, that's just one example of a strategy change. So I'm in favor of doing these kinds of exercise, but on what basis? I think we need to respond to the public's needs, wants, desires, objections to what we're doing. I feel a lot better about moving forward with the marketing plan as I know that it's in response to our customer base and what they want, and not just hatched.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybell. I will tell you that I attended all the Wild Future meetings and had discussions with many folks at those meetings across the state. Mm-hmm. And we have surveyed not only our fishermen and hunters that we've had emails for in a number of cases. And, in fact, we surveyed them before we went forward with the recreational bill. Also, one of the things that we included in our build-out of the new licensing system was an opportunity to capture a lot more email addresses, so that communication we can ramp that up, because we only had about 7% of our customer base with an email. So
right, and that's great. One of the things you started the presentation with was the difference between marketing and public affairs. I think the Wild Futures was a public affairs exercise, and I think that the questions that we would ask our customer base from a marketing point of view would be different.
Okay.
Barbara.
Well, I was all excited for a second there. I thought I was going to get to disagree with Commissioner McIsaac, and I only do a little bit. But I wondered if you could put back up the goals slide, because I think that I completely agree with Commissioner Thorburn in that this is a perfectly good hunting and fishing marketing plan. But I think what you're hearing is that if it's titled the Fish and Washington Department Fish and Wildlife Marketing Plan, this is a subset of, I believe, some changes that are in the works that maybe haven't been quite caught up with.
Yeah.
And so if we look at this, when I looked at that and I was over there shuffling papers, actually that have to do with this exact thing, at least my first goal as a commissioner on this commission isn't simply to recruit and retain hunters and fishers. It's very important, but it's that third bullet that is important, of which this is probably the first subset, but the second one is to identify and activate other users. So I think this is, I'm not asking you to go back and rewrite this, because I think it's very adequate for what it is, but I do have a question, and that is, I've been working, not recently, but working with Bruce Spodka on the web redesign. And he's all over this more non-consumptive use, but more importantly than that, at least having people know what's available to them from our agency. And I wonder if you guys are talking to each other as you're doing these marketing plans.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It sounds like it didn't happen, though. That's why I asked the question.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Bruce is a member of our marketing steering committee. Mm-hmm. Greg and I have met with him numerous times, and this marketing plan is part of the reasoning behind this is to try to develop swim lanes for where Bruce is going to be and where the marketing folks are going to be and how we cross to make it a teamwork environment to make sure that we get out the right messages and we're peaking the right audiences when we're out here with this. So, I've got a meeting with Bruce on Tuesday to discuss trying to include the website, and I can certainly swim back with him on this. But Bruce has got a lot of good points for us.
Okay, so that was my one point. My point about disagreeing with Commissioner McIsaac is that the non-consumptive users do pay, and they pay now in the form of a Discover Pass. There's a ton of work going into working to perhaps update that and to make some changes. But I agree with you. I mean, we're not going to have people sitting in kiosks in front of every piece of our public land, but there are other ways to have public support of what we do that don't require a license.
Mr. Carpenter.
Well, I want to try and learn from my colleagues and not step on their toes, but I guess I have some perspectives on marketing. I I just retired and sold my business at the end of March, and I was in the retail business. So I marketed a little bit, you know, and having marketed for 40 years, I couldn't tell you what works. I mean, I could probably tell you what doesn't work, but I don't know if I could tell you what works. But point being, the Northwest Marine Trade Association, which is like 900 businesses in the area, which I was on the board for 12 years, they put on the Seattle Boat Show. And they put a lot of revenue into studying the market, studying the prospective buyer. And the one thing I can tell you over doing 36 years of Seattle Boat Shows, the one common denominator was every year the walk-in paying customer, boat show attendee, was a year older. It never changed. It didn't go up and down like this. It just went up like this. That's the problem we're fighting in this arena. Everybody's getting, I don't care what it is, everybody's getting older, and younger people are not getting engaged. Brad and us and many of us have talked about that for a long, long time. So the other thing that the NMTA did in those studies that they had the kiosks throughout the boat show for years is that 82% of the people that would come and buy a boat are buying a boat for the primary purpose of fishing. Now, that you can bank on. People tell you that. So you know there's something there to get your arms around. The demographics are, whether it's hunting and fishing or bird watching or whatever it is out there, we got to figure out where the demographics are and get them out from behind their laptop or their iPad or their whatever. Where I have a problem with what I've heard is, and I'm not being critical of anyone, it appears we're going to have a shotgun approach. We're gonna have a 7.5 size BBs trying to go 100 different places to find people to come into the arena and buy licenses from us, buy a discovery passes, and hope out of that we build our base. I would like to think we need to go to maybe not necessarily a rifle scenario, but we need to focus. We really need to drill down and focus on where we go to get what we need to be economically viable now and over the next decade or longer. And if we have to bring in, I hate to think about having to bring in someone from the outside, but we got to drill down and find out where we get the most bang for the buck over the next period of time, whatever is reasonable for planning purposes for this agency. And it has to be focused, I think it has to be focused on young people. And I think young people, there's probably a couple segments of demographics that we have to focus on. But, you know, if most of us, all of us, like I said earlier, are getting older. And we're all taking our grandkids out doing something. Some of it's hunting and fishing. Some of it's bird watching. I would think because of where I live, most of it's going to be hunting and fishing. Because in Skagit Valley, that's what people do. That's not the way it is in downtown Seattle. But somewhere there's four or five segments of the population base demographically that will make us whole. And I think we need to find out who those are, because we can't be all things to all people.
Yeah, let me piggyback on some of that. A couple of years ago, we tried to implement a youth advisory board for the department. And it was actually a youth commission. So the goal was to have a 16, 17, 18-year-old at the table with us each time. And we picked them. We had, you know, from around the state, and we had great kids. And it just kind of went away. I mean, it just, because the old argument, the budget, you know. And I'm still frustrated by that defense because, as Commissioner Carpenter said, the youth is our future. And if we don't start to involve them in helping us chart a future, we're not going to have a future. I mean, you know, when you look at all of these meetings, again, it's like looking in a mirror. White, middle-aged, elderly males. White, you know, bearded males. for the most part, I mean, and lovely ladies. But it's... We don't focus enough on the youth, and the fishing derbies are fine. All that's fine. Partners, when we were starting to do the youth advisory group or the youth commission, we said we're going to be talking with our partners, and we looked specifically, REI, Cabela's, all of the ones that you would think. Because if I was sitting in the chairmanship of Cabela's or Bass Pro Shops, I'd be a little worried, you know, because with kids talking about wired, they're wired 11 hours a day. These kids, their reality is not a reality of nature. It's a reality of faux nature, whatever, you know. So if they don't start investing in that, in that next generation, they're not going to have a customer base. We are a logical partner for that, for those groups. I would like to see us take the lead. And not when we did have in this room with the youth they invited, we had like the fifth string assistant to the assistant marketing person from a regional Bass Pro Shop. You know, we got to go for the Sally Jewels or whoever. That would be logical because of all the and the leadership of those organizations. I speak for the commission. We would be happy to be engaged in a meeting of that nature, but that's a partnership that we have to involve, and it should be a symbiotic partnership because they should. You know, yeah. We're doing the same thing.
Customers,
yeah. We want the next generation to be healthy, active, and outdoors.
Yes. We need each other.
Yeah, and when, you know, and if they're going to do that, they're going to have to buy the goodies to do all of that stuff. So, we could go on a lot. You hit a nerve on me on this one because it's been festering a long time too. But in your looking at, you know, talking to people. If we can't get the youth commissioners here or revisit that, at least have youth focus groups that you should be talking to. Because if, you know, bring 20 kids from around the state for a weekend that are 16, 17, and 18 and ask them these questions. Don't ask us, you know, because they're going to be the ones that we have to be invested in that. And I know AFA's doing stuff like that, but I think Washington can take a leadership role in this. And if we do take a leadership role, we will find the funding. Because when we talked once with the head of the Marine...
NMTA, Marine Trade Association.
And we were talking about funding, and he said, you know, a lot of people ask us for money to do youth things, but we don't know who to give it to.
We'll take it.
They'll take it. No, if we prove leadership.
Yep.
You know, people want to tag on to something that's going forward in the right direction. So, enough said. Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed your presentation, but I still have something to say. Because this is kind of, I have an example. I taught my daughter to shoot at about 13. She never wanted to go hunting, ever. And last year, a bunch of her friends hunt quite a bit. She just said, Dad, I want to go hunting with you. So we went out. She didn't get a license. She didn't carry her gun. She just went with me. And I got a deer, and she got to be there, and we took care of it and everything. And she was like, I want to, can I go to Walmart and get a license? I said, well, no, you haven't had hunter's ed yet. But anyway, this year she wanted to go hunting so bad. We got the license, took her out. And I guess the point I'm making is when you're fishing and you cast your lure, the excitement is to catch that fish, not necessarily to make a good cast. But in hunting, the excitement is learning to shoot and being with people that are teaching you about guns and teaching you about shooting. And it may not be for years until that joy of having a tight pattern on a target turns into I want to hunt. Or it could be camera work, you know, for the non-consumptive use person. It, you know, you only get a deer, what, in this state, what's the odds, 10 or 15%? You're going to hunt 15 years before you actually pull the trigger on a deer? So that's not that much fun. The fun is the other stuff connected to hunting. Fishing, you catch a lot. That's what's fun. If you ever take a kid fishing and they didn't catch anything, they're disappointed. They don't want to go back the next day. But hunting doesn't have to be that way, and I think don't forget that, because the last thing I did after deer hunt this year with my daughter, she said, Dad, isn't there a late season somewhere in the state? Can't we go hunt some more deer? You know, so she's on. She says, I can't believe I never did this before. This is so much fun. She never got to pull a trigger. She just got to see a 2-point and hope it was a 3-point, and she was all excited, ready to shoot. You know, so there's things that are important to this that aren't just the killing. You know, there's the other stuff.
Joe?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, yeah, I just wanted to throw a couple of pieces of information on the table. This has been a great discussion, and it is very similar to a number that we've had internally over the last couple of years. Commissioner Graybill, we have quite a bit of survey information, and maybe we should round that up sometime and just show you what we have or what we don't have of different types, different audiences. These guys are our licensing sales folks, and so I'm really proud of the work they've done. They've last couple of years changed that whole licensing division and are being a lot more aggressive and proactive. And so I agree this is a hunting and fishing focused discussion because they sell our licenses. This notion, though, of a broader audience, I think, is front and center across the U.S. and certainly for us. And we started taking some baby steps with the Discover Pass and trying to branch out into the non-consumptive world. A couple years ago, working with stakeholders, we put together the Conservation Task Force, and that was specifically intended to broaden the audience, to look for themes around more than just game animals or food fish. And that sort of sputtered in the legislature this last year, and we got this proviso. So Nate spoke briefly about the advisory group we're putting together, a budget and policy group, and that being constituted of people from all over all walks of life. And our hope here on the short term is that we're able to do our zero-based budgeting, show people where the dollars come from, where we invest them, talk about their wants and needs and desires of the agency, and they're far beyond just hunting and fishing, and look for ways then to fund that and to enhance that, to market that. It isn't all about money, but we tend to get drawn there pretty quickly. But just the values that folks in the state have are way beyond hunting and fishing, and we're looking for some way to harness that and hopeful that the proviso takes us another step down that road. But just wanted to throw that into the mix.
Sure. I was just chatting with Brad. You know, this would seem to be a subject that might warrant two or three commissioners joining in some type of a committee structure to try and provide some thoughts and vision. If you think that's helpful, let us know, because I can think of two or three or four right now that might want to participate. And it's a big picture task, but I think a very necessary one. So.
Thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. We'd love to do that. We want all the help we can get. We don't have all the answers. The marketing plan is part of trying to tell the folks within the agency how they can bring ideas forward and we can work on them. We want to listen to everybody, and we're not the experts. No doubt about that. And everybody's got good ideas, and I think this is a really big boulder we need to push up a hill. So
just to piggyback on that again, just there's no thought behind this statement, so don't take it too deeply. But the summer meeting of WAFA is this summer. It's in Portland. In terms of a target date, I would be happy with some of my colleagues to present the draft Washington plan for youth engagement or something of that nature, to set a window, because it would be something that, we could put our stake in the ground on that, and that it's like in August, I think, the meeting or something, but that July. So just, again, throwing that out, so we can't let this just percolate.
No.
And Brad mentioned Cabela's. Cabela's has been purchased by Bass Pro Shop now, who's owned by Johnny Morris. Johnny Morris is probably the biggest visionary in the recreational industry worldwide, and he can be accessed, and or some of his staff. So, maybe there's something there that would be helpful to jumpstart something.
And when we met with the governor a few months ago, we got talking about stuff, and we were talking about getting youth engaged more. Remember? And he said, "Let me know anything I can do." So I would be very happy to take him up on that offer in terms of bringing in some of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got both ends. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there again, listening to all the, and Jay talking about taking his daughter out, a good friend of mine, he'd married a gal and she had a boy. And so this was Spencer's first year. Well, then mom decided she wanted to go. Well, Kyle didn't want to take two new hunters, so I ended up taking his wife. I was going, Kyle, am I that old and harmless? Are you going to send me out with your wife?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a blast. And the little boy, he got a 140 whitetail out on my place. And but the Danny, we just sat there in one of my blinds and had a blast and got to see a ton. And then I just got done taking a 22-year-old gal that first time she'd ever got to elk hunting, and she drew it. And this is going to come way out of left field, folks, but there again, with all the broken families and stuff, do we want to look at some kind of a mentoring program? And I think encourage hunting groups to try and do that. Because there again, there's an awful lot of kids that don't have dad to take them hunting. And yeah, you'd have to do a little shaking it out, but there's a lot of really good hunting groups with a lot of knowledgeable people. And truly, taking a kid out and getting his first deer is about, it's way more fun than shooting your own anymore. It truly is, and turkeys and that kind of stuff. So, I, you know, there again, something to go back to basics and talk to the hunting groups, because that's what's going to take. The hunting groups are going to have to maybe buck up and get involved. And I, what it takes, I don't know whether we got to give somebody a little break on their license if they're willing to take a kid out hunting or anything. So I still think that's an avenue you want to look down.
Thank you, Commissioner Holtzmiller. We're 100% agreement that, you know, our million customers across, whether they hunt or fish or whatever, are our biggest advocates for the agency. They are already engaged. We need to engage them more to help us engage the folks that aren't, and to include them on. You know, hunting is not just not just going out, but it's the experience, the camaraderie, the early fall days that you're out in the woods and enjoying the experience. So we're there. We're working hard with a bunch of folks and trying to look at, you know, do we take people out to hear wolves howl? Do we take people out to just enjoy an opportunity to hunt in some areas that they haven't ever tried before? So we're looking at it. We're trying to marry it up, and we're trying to figure out what the nexus is to get some of these folks to take these folks out.
So we'll let the director have the last word on this, because we do have to move ahead.
Just a couple comments. These are issues that are important all across the nation, and I was recently at the OFWA meeting. And certainly, you know, you identified Johnny Morris. He was a member of the Blue Ribbon panel, along with executives from the oil industry and other outdoor industries. A pretty impressive bunch. They presented at the meeting, actually. And the result of their meeting was this suggestion that we come up with another funding source to work on species that aren't hunted and fished and species of greatest conservation need. And that's the Recovery in American Wildlife Act that Commissioner Thorburn talked about earlier. So that legislation is going to be dropped soon. It'll be really important for all of us to get behind that. I think that I'm optimistic there's a chance that we can make that move. If that were to happen, it could be up to $26 million available for Washington for us to match with funds we have right now. We could make that match with our license plate sales. But that would be a game changer and on several levels, not only for those species of greatest conservation need, but also it would provide some relief for us going back to the well again and again and again to hit up sportsmen for more dollars. And so, and it's really important that we watch that. The OFWA meeting was really excellent. As has mentioned, there's a WAFWA meeting this year in Eugene, Oregon. It's in usually the second week of July, around the 10th, somewhere there. I think it's an opportunity for commissioners to attend that we could do it fairly inexpensively. And there's always a lot of really good information there about this topic and just general trends across the West. And then the final thing I wanted to say is the R3 movement has really got a lot of momentum across the country, and it is more of a traditional movement. But it's a place where we can provide action and make a difference. I mean, we sell and market licenses, and so it's a place where we can do that. And so that's why a lot of people are concentrating on it. Other areas, you know, that are ripe for us, the Discovery Pass is an area we ought to be working with parks and others to market that in a little bit better way, because it has produced some pretty good revenue for the department. It's going to be challenging for us to find just other, you know, sources of income from non-hunters and fishermen here in Washington, because many of the sources that other states have used, we've already fully leveraged in our state, because we don't have a state income tax. And so we leverage all kinds of other small sources of tax income. A lot of the ideas have already been had, I guess. So, but it's out there. The group that Nate's put together, we have several of the same people on that committee, or a few of the same people that were also on our committee from last year. And that's certainly not dead. We're going to keep it alive and keep looking for ways to expand and fund. But it's really a national issue, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.